All right, what's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Johnny and Sergio's show. So I want to talk about a few things here today. In the past couple of weeks, we've had some really interesting conversations. Some people on the pod, some people off, but we've met some really cool people, and a lot of them being very successful and wealthy, you know, in the millions. So one thing that I want to talk about, something that recently, like, let's talk about the most recent thing. You recently went to Irvine, and you went to, like a tech, what was it? Like a tech conference type of thing?
Yeah, right? it's been interesting, because we've talked to people from a bunch of different industries.
That's true.
And we've gotten to meet people. Well, I've gotten to meet people, because I went, like you said, to Irvine, and it was like a tech event hosted by this dude. Who has raised a bunch of money, sold a bunch of companies. He's got 9 exits under his belt, meaning, for those who don't know what an exit is, he built a company, sold it to whether private equity or another company that bought it, whatever. And I thought it was interesting because he's only like in his 50s, but he sold 9 companies, which I'm like, dude, that's pretty savage. And he spent like 10 years of his career as a CPA at Ernst & Young.
Okay.
Yeah. Before branching off, and like he's talking about how like he's had some exits that have taken like 5-6 years, but others have taken as little as 18 months, cashed out like tens of millions of dollars in 18 months.
Okay.
And so his latest one, he sold a company called Ardius, ARDIUS, to Gusto. So Gusto is a big payroll, like HR software company.
Okay.
And I don't know how much he sold it for, but he sold it for a shitload, like 9 figures. I think mid 9 figures. Don't quote me. I could be totally off. But he was given a talk on
Nine figures, in like 500 million?
He sold it for a shitload.
Okay.
And he was talking about like raising money and just like the whole world of tech. And I wanted to go so I could make some more connects in the tech world, because we have like no connections. Like, we know a bunch of digital marketers and a bunch of like boring business, like small business guys, but no one in tech. And so it was interesting. Excuse me. It was interesting getting exposed to that world of like people who just go out, raise money, and then build companies extremely quickly and then sell them.
Is there anything you notice about him, like right off the bat? Like someone that had sold 9 companies before versus just like a normal person? Anything stand out to you?
No.
No?
No.
He seemed like a normal dude.
He seemed like a normal ass dude. Yeah. Okay. He's like really chill, really nice. Like, I went up to him, I was chopping it up, I was telling him about what we do with Home Service Academy. And he immediately just goes, "Oh yeah, dude, right now you could probably get like a 1x for your business, but like just automate it." And I'm like, "What do you like?" He's throwing buzzwords out. Like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, automate it. And he's like, "Oh, just slap some software on it. You'll get like 8 to 12x the revenue." And I was like, "Oh, that's really interesting." That's something I already knew, but it was good to hear it like validated from someone who's done it 9 times. It's like, yeah, dude, software trades off of software. Just my takeaway, software just seems like such like the best business model if you're looking to build something to sell, because you get revenue multipliers instead of profit multipliers. So that was cool. I met some other cool people there too. I met a guy who has the domain fiction.com. So immediately he goes, "Yeah, I own fiction.com." I'm like, "Fiction.com? How much was that domain?" He's like, "Guess." I'm like, "A couple hundred grand." And he goes, "No, close though. It was a little over 100 grand he spent just to have the domain fiction.com." And what it is it's kind of like a ClickFunnels competitor. He hasn't launched it yet because he said he pivoted. He was doing some other like AI stuff earlier, but he's pivoting it to be like a ClickFunnels competitor. But that was cool. And he spent 20 or so years in tech. He's had a bunch of success with other businesses. So we're going to get connected, get on a call here either this week or next. He was really cool. But the coolest dude I met there, other than the guy who's actually speaking, was this dude named Brian, who owns a company called Life Ray. So the company's Life Ray. Life is in life, and then Ray, R-A-Y. Completely bootstrapped, 4 co-founders. I don't know what they do because I checked out their website. I'm still confused. Some type of software product, enterprise software product. Bootstrapped it for 19 years with his four partners to over $100 million a year in annual sales.
Yeah, that's an unheard of.
No, I told
Bootstrapping him $100 million a year?
A year.
In revenue?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
No funding, nothing. Just completely bootstrapped. 19 years. They haven't sold it. All the mm-hmm. same partners. They've hired a whole new C-suite, so a new CEO, CMO, COO. They have a chief sales officer too. They have their whole C-suite built out,
mm-hmm.
and the business runs without them. They're just board members.
And what was he doing there? Like, what was he trying to get out of the event?
He just was buddies with people that were there.
Got it.
So there were some other guys there that I didn't get to talk to, like some investors and stuff, and other guys that built companies. But he was friends with the speaker, Josh, and he's just like, I'm just here, I'm just chilling. And so I started talking with him, and he was telling me, he's like, it's interesting, dude, because I was telling him about what we do. He says we have very parallel like stories, because they started off as like a consulting coaching company, and then 4 or 5 years in, they pivoted to software. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and did he say why he pivoted? Was it just because he saw like a bigger opportunity in software?
The business was stuck at like $8 million a year, or $10 million a year, and they couldn't get past it. And so they saw the next logical step was like, okay, let's put some software in here. And then that's what they did.
Okay. Dude, that's super interesting. So, okay, you talked to like some of these tech people, and your biggest takeaway from this event was, one, software is like the best business to start if you want to exit for like a super fat number.
And quickly.
Okay. Why quickly? Like, how can you go from like starting the software and 18 months later selling it for $50 million or something like that?
Well, I've never done it, but from what I learned, it's like you build it once and you can sell it a bajillion times.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to like what we do, it's a service business. You want to grow, you have to add people. You don't really have to do that. Like, you build it once and you sell it over and over again. And unlike a physical product, you don't have much overhead other than maybe server costs.
Got it.
So
it's a lot easier to scale from 0 to 1 million users.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or $1 million even in sales, because you get to 1 million and now you can get, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times that.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to like you take $1 million service business that's doing 20-30% net profit margins, you're only selling that for like $500,000-$600,000.
Yeah. I was listening to a Dan Martell video, and if you're not familiar, Dan Martell is really big in the SaaS world. Basically, like, he started SaaS companies and invested in a ton, sold a ton, and he has like this whole SaaS Academy thing. And he was saying the way that you would sell a company for like hundreds of millions of dollars really quickly also had to do with the type of market you're going after and knowing beforehand who you're going to sell to. And I thought that was pretty interesting. I don't know if this guy that you talked to that had 9 exits knew he was going to sell to Gusto, but I feel like sometimes you need to have like that person that, all right, I'm basically building this company because I know Gusto is the person who would buy it, and then like building it, you know, within 18 months and selling it to them.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he knew Gusto was going to be the one. That's a good question to ask him for sure. He's mm-hmm. going to come out to Vegas in 2 weeks, so we're gonna have dinner with him. But so I'm going to ask him that, or you can ask him that. But yeah, I mean, it reminds me of a story too, like the guy who sold 2 Maids and a Mop for like $50 million. He met the guy that he sold to years before he actually sold to him. And by the time it got to the point where it'd be attractive for him, he was the first one that he went to, and then he ended up buying it. There's a lot of stories I've heard like that. But that's something they talked about too, is like begin with the end in mind. So like if you're starting a business, and especially if you have co-founders, it's really important to have all the co-founders aligned on what the end goal is. Because is it like, hey, end timeline, like I want to exit 3 to 5 years. I want to bootstrap this and hold it forever. Like whatever it is, make sure that you're all aligned. Because he told a story about this company in Atlanta who they had been going at it for like 4 or 5 years, decided to raise money. And he asked all of the co-founders individually, like, how long, like, what's your goal? And one person said, I just want to make a livable income every single year. Another person was like, I got, like, 2 more years in me. And only one founder was like, I'm in it for however long it takes. so we can sell this. I want like a unicorn exit. I want $1 billion. Mm-hmm. And so they ended up raising money, and that's the only co-founder that stayed on.
Because they didn't have like a vision that was aligned
yeah.
with all of them. Yeah, that is super important. That kind of reminds me of the Pink Window Cleaning guys. Those guys were definitely aligned on their vision. If you're listening to this right now, maybe you listen to the podcast because we did it before this. But, yeah, these guys have a really interesting story. Like, basically twins, like doppelgangers of us, just in Texas. But pretty early on, they got acquired or, like, partnered with a big franchise brand. And now they're going to be taking their Pink's Window Cleaning nationwide. And one thing that I noticed about them that I've seen in a lot of, like, really successful people was that, one, they're two partners that have, like, super aligned visions of what they, like, where they want to take it. You can just tell they're on the same page. And then the second thing is, like, they just really care about the customers. Like, product and, like, integrity, I would say, is the core of, like, who they are and what they want to put in the business.
Yeah, even as something as simple as window cleaning. And even when we were talking before this podcast, my major takeaway with the meeting, so we talked to Superhuman Troy, who runs a basically nine-figure supplement company. Talk to the Pink's guys who have a multi-million dollar window cleaning franchise business. And then the tech guys I met who are all running it up off of software. Mm-hmm. Super successful guys in all different industries. And they all are heavy, like, product-focused people. Like, you hear Troy talk, and he's like, how do we make the best supplements? How do we make the best?
Yeah.
Stuff like stuff that's actually like how can I make the ingredients really clear on what we're actually putting into this, because at the time when they were building their company Alpha Line, it was like they didn't really know what was in the ingredients that they were taking in the other supplements they were buying from their competitors' brands.
Yeah,
so that's what they focus on in the supplement company Pink's. Same thing, their whole thing is like no arrival windows. We're going to show up when we say we show up. We're going to do what we say we do, and we're going to turn the service industry upside down, and we're going to do it through window cleaning.
Yeah, I could definitely tell, like, yeah, all these people, they care about product a lot. And I mean, that's toot our own horn, but that's something that we focus on a lot, too.
So. Yeah, I mean, we built Orange Window Cleaning. It's still, to this date, the number one window cleaning business in Orange County, the most reviews, the most five-star reviews, number one ranked on Google. Same thing with Marion & Mop, five-star reviews across the board, Home Service Academy. Go to our Trustpilot, put in description below, all five-star reviews. I mean, we got a couple, like, weird ones in there, but you're bound to in the service business.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just interrupt real quick to tell you about Home Service Academy. It's the company Sergio and I run. Home Service Academy is essentially a business in the box where our team will actually roll up our sleeves and help you build a house cleaning business and run it completely remotely from anywhere in the world, from dirt to however big you actually want to take it. To date, we've helped over 1,500 people start and grow their existing house cleaning businesses all across the US and Canada. It's something we've gotten very, very good at. And if you've been looking to dip your toe into entrepreneurship, whether that's to go full-time in a business, to replace an income, or just build a side hustle that produces you an extra whatever amount of money you want to make on the side, on top of your current 9-to-5, then click the link in the bio and book a call with our team. It's completely free, and at the very least, you'll see what it looks like to actually run one of these businesses. The time commitments, the amount of money it costs to actually start, and every good and bad thing that can come with running one of these. So again, if that's something you're interested in, click the link in the bio, and let's get back to the pod.
When it comes to Troy, I love Troy. That dude's awesome. But something that I noticed about him was he seemed like super driven. Like, you could tell, like, this is something that he thinks about a lot. Like, he's thinking about his supplement company and how he can make that better. And also his content, like, 24/7. Do you feel like you're like that?
With HSA, yeah. I mean, I'm always, like, I'm definitely the one that's always still, like, a student gets their first sale, I'm in there. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, like, let's go, bang, let's fucking go, blah, 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 whatever. I give my calendar link to, especially all the accelerator students. Some of them even have my phone number. Which most people will tell you, like, it's not scalable. Don't do that. You shouldn't be the one in the weeds doing that. But it's like,
oh, that's how they sound.
Yeah, it's like, dude, you run a service business, you know, and people pay you a lot of money, or even if they pay you a little money, they pay you a dollar. Like, my mentality, even when starting the window cleaning business, is I'm going to make sure we do the best possible job. And even when we started hiring people at Orange Window Cleaning, some of the employees get pissed at us because we could take a little longer, but it's like we didn't want any shrieks on those damn windows. And a good example of this is when we did Chapman University. We did half of it, and another company did half of it. And you saw how the other company would move. They just splash some water on there and move to the next, move to the next. There's so many windows on that campus. Chapman University is a huge private university. Like, the facilities guy isn't going to go and see all those streaks. But we are definitely taking a lot longer on buildings because we wanted those windows to look good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely. So how do we get data for sale a lot shorter? How do we make it easier to hire providers? How do we make it easier to get leads? It's all stuff that has to be thought about specifically in our business, but in any business. It's like, how can you make the best possible product? Because the whole saying, like, build it and people will come, like, it's kind of true to an extent. Like, you still need good marketing, good sales, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it makes it a lot easier to market and sell a good product rather than dog shit wrapped up in a wrapper, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't know what you mean. I think that's where most people get stuck, is they might be good at marketing or they might be good at sales, but then when it comes to actually doing the thing that they said they were going to do, they're not actually delivering on what they said they would. And then they get stuck at a point where, like, oh, I don't know how to grow my business because I'm stuck at this number. And it's usually because of the product, but, like, they don't think about that. They think, why aren't more people buying my stuff? And it's because, dude, you have shitty reviews, or all these people that buy your thing are telling everyone not to buy it. So, yeah, why are you surprised?
Yeah, especially in our industry, digital marketing, like, we've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on courses and people's, like, programs, and they promise the world, they guarantee all this shit, and you get in there. I remember we paid $10,000 for an Instagram marketing course.
Yeah.
Like, how to get more leads off Instagram organically.
Scam.
And the dude that runs that goes and you see him do new offers all the time. He's doing, like, a crypto offer, this offer, whatever. We end up joining, and I get onboarded from the coach, the account manager, whoever's, like, supposed to be my coach. I jump on the call, and the guy's sitting there, like, looking off to the side, bullshitting with his girlfriend as I'm on the call. I'm like, no way I spent $10,000 on this. No way. And it was just the worst service of all time. The community was not active. There's, like, 40 people in there. I think the guy checked in with me one time, and it was supposed to be, like, a 3-month, 4-month long thing.
Mm-hmm.
Checked in with me, like, one time.
Yeah.
So, my point being is, yeah, there's a lot of great marketers out there with shit product, because when you have to like, make your product good, that's the boring part of the business to a lot of people.
Yeah, I agree, man. I can see that for sure.
What about you, though? What are your takeaways? Because we've talked to a good amount of people lately.
On who?
On everyone, just the people that are crushing it.
Yeah, dude. I mean, one of my takeaways is, like, one, for sure, like, extreme accountability. Like, just, they have a one-track mind. It's like, dude, like, the only thing I'm trying to think about right now is how do we make the business better? How do we, make more money here? But I think what other people are doing, the ones that are not as successful, is they're trying to focus on things that aren't in their control. Like, I hear people blame the economy all the time. Like, we've been kind of in a recession for a couple months, or I don't know, in the past year or something. And they like to look at that as a reason why their business isn't doing as good as they think it should be doing. And that's just something that doesn't come up in conversations when you're talking to people that are, you know, like, really successful. So that's one thing that I noticed. Let me think. Another thing is,
can we talk about that
first? Yeah.
Because that's a huge one. People blame, like, other circumstances out of their control. And it's always an excuse. And even all the way down to, like, if you're running a company managing people and you have multiple departments, you'll start to, this is just, like, a lesson I've learned that I'm sharing, is you'll have people start to bitch and complain and blame other departments. As an example, it's like, oh, well, I can't close deals because the leads suck. You're not
so sales blaming marketing.
Yeah, sales blaming marketing. And it's like, okay, while there may be some truth to that, it doesn't serve you to hold that belief, because your job's to close the deals, not to be the marketer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And as a business owner, you have to recognize those things and not feed into the BS, whether you're coaching, because you're still coaching your employees. Like, you're still building leaders. You're still training them, trying to make them better at what they do. And if you're trying to grow and scale an organization and you've got people bitching and blaming other things like that, it's your job to shut it down. And just like we're in the coaching business, you have our students who, you know, complain about, oh, the economy, this, that, the other. Like, that belief does, none of those beliefs serve you, whether you're an employee, you're starting a business, whatever it is. Like, it doesn't ever serve you to just blame other external forces, because it does nothing to improve your situation.
Yeah, it's like you said, some of those things could be true. Like, yeah, on the news, they could be saying that we are in a recession. There is, you know, some form of inflation going on. But like you said, you can't change those things. So why let that affect how you run the business? Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, I mean, we've went through COVID. COVID was like an interesting time where in the beginning we thought orange window cleaning was dead. Like, for 2 months we got zero jobs and we thought it was the end of the world, right? But then it started to pick back up, and we seen that that was the most money, the most jobs we had ever done during that time. And I think that what that taught us was that only the best companies survive during these downtimes or recessions, because there still has to be people like getting these services no matter what industry you're in. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, okay, when business is booming, like, everybody's gonna eat. But when it's not, only the people that are the best with the best reputations, the best products, are gonna win.
That's what saved us, was the reputation, because we were still holding like really high rankings on Yelp and Google.
Uh-huh.
And people started calling us again.
Yeah, I remember that. And it was a big learning lesson for us, for sure. But
I remember a story specifically during that time when you came back, because you had the civil engineering job for a bit. Mm. And you came back, and like, it was a massive pay cut going from civil engineering back to window cleaning, because like, it was still like a super small company. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, like, what about the money? And I remember, nah, dude, look. And I showed you the bank account, and we had like over 10 grand in it. And I just felt so good.
At the time, like, that was huge for us.
Yeah, we never seen 10 grand in the account.
Yeah.
So I just triggered that memory. But anyways, what else from talking to other successful entrepreneurs in the past few weeks? We've got accountability. You said accountability, and then there's another one you were going to say.
Yeah, I freaking blanked on it, man.
I interrupted you, my bad.
It's all good. Let me think. Do you have one top of your head?
No, my biggest one was the product. I was going to bring that up. That's really all I got.
I will say, just networking and getting out there is helpful. Just like talking to other people that are, you know, even if they're not in the same industry, I think it has been helpful just to see other perspectives and like what they're doing, because it kind of gives you some, either validates some of the things that you're thinking or feeling, because, you know, business isn't always freaking rainbows and sunshine. Sometimes we're like going through some shit, and you can kind of feel like, damn, I suck. Right. So there's a little bit of that, where even people that are, you know, at the $100 million a year are still going through some of these things. I think that's cool. And then the other thing is just getting value from something that we don't think about business this way. We don't think about certain tactical stuff this way. And like, I had some takeaways from some of these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So like, one of the things was Troy has a YouTube channel, and he has more followers than us. He gets more, you know, likes, comments, all that stuff. And one of the things was the way he looks at content is, how can I make something that is like so good and so interesting that people have to click on it? And we kind of realized, dude, our content kind of sucks because we don't think about it that way. We're just putting out, you know, boring cleaning shit.
We're just like, oh, we got to make 60 pieces of content. That's like the goal, is get out 60 pieces. And so,
yeah, and that can only take you so far.
Yeah.
Like, we have somewhat of a you know, follower base. Like, if you're listening to this right now, you're one of the OGs. But we need to be making content that like people like outside of our current like core base is going to like want to click on, and it's going to be interesting. So that was a good takeaway for me. Just looking at things differently.
Yeah. And even then, like, we met Troy, and he's like, dude, text me anytime. You want to look, like, a thumbnail reviewed, I'll just look at it. And it's like, that's super valuable to people like us and to your point of networking, because now when we put out a YouTube video, we have somebody who's, you know, a couple steps ahead of us looking at our stuff, saying, hey, giving us feedback. And you'd also be surprised at people in industries that you think have no correlation or anything to do with what you're doing can actually provide a lot of value to you. So two examples. One, we went to a BNI, which is like a local networking thing. It's in most cities, so there's probably a BNI in your city if you're watching this. Mm-hmm. And there was a website designer. It was like this mom. Her name was Janice. And Janice, if you're listening to this, big shout out, because I'll never forget this. We ended up doing, in BNI, you do one-on-ones. So you go out and grab lunch or coffee or whatever. We ended up grabbing like a dinner or something with her. And I remember meeting, like, before the meeting, I'm like, why are we doing this? This is a waste of time, whatever. Ended up meeting with her. We chopped it up. She told us her story. We told her our story. And she ended up making a post for us in her, like, local neighborhood, which was this really nice neighborhood in Newport Beach, and on her, like, local community board. And we ended up getting, like, 6 or 7 jobs, like, made thousands of dollars off that one meeting. Example number two is in a similar networking group, not BNI, but called LaTip. There was a health insurance agent. The guy sold health insurance. I'm like, there's no way this guy's ever going to send me a referral or a lead or anything. Ended up meeting with him. Sat next to him one day, and he's like, hey, I have this client who's has a window cleaning business, and you guys could potentially buy it. Well, guess what? We ended up buying that business mm-hmm. and landing that Chapman University job that we talked about 20 minutes ago. So.
Yeah, nothing like good old human connection, huh?
Yeah. You never know, dude. You never know. Talk to everybody, because you – another one, third example. Back when I was a college student, Cal State Fullerton, there's two campuses. There's the Fullerton campus, and there's the Irvine campus. And I wanted priority selection on classes for the next semester. So they're doing this thing where you get priority if you take two classes at the Irvine campus. And it was like, it was kind of a bitch because I had to drive 25 minutes out of my way to get there as opposed to like 8. So whatever, I'll do it because I want to be able to pick my classes and be done. So I ended up driving to this campus 2 times a week for that semester. And in one of my classes, there's this dude with glasses. His name, I forget what his name was. I want to say it was like Jonathan or something. I'd have to look. I still have his number. He actually called me a few weeks back. But I started talking to him. He's like, yeah, I like run this construction company. I'm like, what do you mean you run a construction company? He's like, oh, well, there's this dude who owns a construction company, and I'm like the general manager, so I just do everything for him. Mm-hmm. He's like the operator. I'm like, oh, that's dope, dude. I have like this window cleaning business. Started telling him about it. He's like, okay, dude, I'll hit you up, man. Like, we always need window cleaning because, like, sometimes we'll get concrete on the walls or concrete on the windows, and we need a window cleaner to come in and clean it. So I was like, okay. Never thought he would ever send anything. A week later, dude calls me up. We exchange phone numbers. He calls me up a week later, and he's like, dude, we fucked up.
Oh, is that when the hose exploded?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of mm-hmm. concrete on the wall.
The hose exploded. And it got a bunch of concrete all over this, like, brand new limestone. Super nice houses up in, Newport Coast, I think, or Laguna, somewhere. Mm-hmm. And he needed us to go pressure wash the concrete off the walls. And it was still fresh, so, like, you could spray it and it would come off. And I'm like, dude, I knew it was going to be a pain in the ass. So I was like, it's going to be, like, $800. He's like, done. And I remember, like, getting off the phone. I'm like, holy shit. $800.
Yeah.
Like, no way. Off of a random guy in my college class. So
was he calling you the other day to get like window cleaning services?
Yeah. Window cleaning, pressure washing. So I sent it to Victor, the guy we sold the company to, and he's doing the job for him.
Got it. Yeah, dude, you never know. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've had a lot of those like super random connections that somehow turn into something. So all right, well,
that's the lesson.
I think it's a good place to leave it off there.
I think so too. Yeah, talk to everyone if you want to start a house cleaning business. Check the link in the bio.
All right. Peace.
Peace.